listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Logan Couture wins it in overtime.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Defensively, Ferraro stops Rust, but here comes Gensel. Great check by Ferraro to take it away. 15 seconds left in the game. Penguins still in it. Crosby throws into the Sharks zone. The puck clear. Carlson, Couture. Shoots! Star! Logan Couture finishes off a five-point night. The very first five-point game of his NHL career. Two goals and three assists for the captain. That's an empty net goal with 9.3 seconds to go. It's 6-4 San Jose.
Yeah, I mean, no one's been kicked in the gut more than us this year. And people that have followed us closely, last night was probably as tough a loss as we've had all year. And that's saying something. We've had a lot of tough losses, but you know, to dust ourselves off and come in here and show up the way we did tonight, I couldn't be more proud of our group. And you know, Capo obviously was huge in the third period. They had a push, but we just kept battling back. Even after they'd score, I loved the next shift from us. We really responded in so many ways, and just so proud of our guys. Would have been a very easy game for us to mail in. The breaks here, we've had a tough season from a winning and losing standpoint. People that don't watch us, we feel like we're a lot better than our record. Losing the fashion we have this year, it's been tough, but you know, to me it really speaks volumes to the character of our group, our leadership. You know, Logan Couture was huge tonight, not only with the points, but the way he played, and I couldn't be prouder. I've been proud of this group a long time, but you know, all year, but none more so than tonight.
All right, what's going on, everybody? Just one day after waking up with one of the worst loss feelings of the season, we wake up with one of the best win feelings of the season, and that really was not guaranteed, because as you heard head coach David Quinn mentioning there on the way in, it would have been easy for them to mail it in. It would have been easy for them to just kind of roll over, take their lumps, move along, and then we'd talk about the next game, and that's not what happened. And, you know, just to watch the start of that game, the furious pace between both of those squads. And, that was not what I was expecting. I really didn't know what was going to happen over the course of the game. I thought the Sharks would have a good effort, but I thought it might require them, you know, going down early or, you know, needing a wake-up call or something to that effect. But it's not how it went down. I mean, the entire game was high competition, high drama, really just one of the more fun games that I think we've seen this year. You get four goals in the first period, three in the second, and then another three in the third. I mean, that was just fun hockey across the board. And, you know, the Sharks go up, Penguins come back with two, the Sharks tie it, they take the lead, then the Penguins come back to tie it, and the Sharks add one on right before the end of the second. You know, that was another thing, is I felt like this was a game of really, really big plays. Like, you know, for Barbie to get that goal late in the second period the way he did, combined with the fact that Carlson got his goal late in the first period. I mean, there was just a number of moments, and then you again get Malkin coming back to tie it again, you know, halfway through the third, it's 4-4. At that point, you don't know what's going to happen, and then Logan Couture, who else but the captain, shows up to make it a 5-4 game and then a 6-4 game. First 5-point night of his career, and just a night of big nights for the Sharks' best players. 5-point night for Cooch, 3-point night for Barbie, 2-point night for Vlasic, a game back after missing for illness, 2 points for Carlson, a point for Benning, a point for Lawrence, a point by way of a goal for Gregor, Acemont, a point for him. Well, he's just been phenomenal. Acemont has been such a good pickup, just the way he's been playing, and just, you know, to watch those guys all come up with big games, big points, big goals. It felt like every goal came at a big time. It felt like every point was needed. Obviously, it was, even though you didn't get the empty netter to ice it. But, you know, this was a game where you needed the team to show up. You didn't know if it was going to happen, though, because the loss the night before was immensely demoralizing. It was, in my opinion, the most painful loss of the year. And you're going into the All-Star break, and, you know, you could have just kind of gone quietly into the night. And I think that you have to look to Logan Couture in particular, just because as the captain, as the leader, as the heartbeat of the Sharks franchise, I think for him to come up big the way he did with a 5-point night, with being in on so many of the earlier goals, you know, that's exactly what your captain is supposed to do. And Logan Couture, you know, he's not the biggest rah-rah guy. I think he's not out in front showing you that type of leadership style. Not that there's a problem with that, but you know, it's interesting when Noah Gregor was talking after the game, he talked about, you know, the way that Logan would talk to him when he was coming into the league, and that over the summer, you know, I'd be texting to him talking about his game. I think Logan Couture, one of the things that he does so well, and we've heard about this from guys over the years, is that he lets his teammates know that he cares and that he's involved and engaged with their play and their improvement and their desire. And I think Logan Couture, one of the ways that he does this, like by texting Noah Gregor, is that, you know, you can wait till the guys are in the locker room to try and fire them up if that's your leadership style. But I think that, like he said, during the summer, if Logan Couture is texting you and calling you and making sure that you're doing the things you need to do, it shows that he cares, that he's like, hey, you know, we're all in this together. I need to check up on your game. I need to talk to you. I need to see where you are. I need to hear what your thoughts are about this team, where we're headed, where we're going, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That to me is very big, because not every leader will do that. They'll wait till the guy is in the building. They'll wait till they're right in front of them. But, you know, to show that you care in the offseason, to show that you're involved and engaged in what they're trying to do, to me, that is a big, big aspect of what being a leader is all about. And the other part is coming up for your team when you need it to happen. And I don't know if there's a better way to come up for your team than having a 5-point night. I mean, that's the first of his career. He's never been older, obviously, but he's still coming up with these big moments and these big goals and big passes and big playmaking opportunities. He's a two-way player. He doesn't get enough respect in the league, in my opinion, and there's a reason that, you know, when the Sharks were in the playoffs every year, nobody except for Alexander Ovechkin, who when he retires is going to be the greatest goal scorer in the history of this league, unless something drastic happens, he was the only guy who scored more playoff goals in the same time period than Logan Couture, because Logan Couture comes up big with big moments, and that is not something that we should ever ignore. It's not something that we should ever try and overlook, but he sets the tone. He comes up big in big moments, and he did it again huge last night to help his team get a much-needed win before they go into the break. And let's talk about the response overall from the Sharks, because that first period, the way that Pittsburgh can fly still, the way that they are aggressive, the way that they can pepper shots, it could have gone a different way. The start to that game, if you were listening to Dan or Randy, both of them commenting on just a frantic, open, back-and-forth, wild start to that game, considering what the Sharks were coming off of and considering how the flow of the season had gone up to this point, you know, you could have seen them fall. You could have seen them land on their backs. You could have seen them be overwhelmed in the moment, but they weren't. And I give them a lot of credit for that. They, you know, you do not always know how it's going to happen when your team has to face extreme adversity the night after a big loss. And I would say the start to that game last night was the Sharks facing extreme adversity, because they were just watching Pittsburgh have to come through and take shots and pepper Kaapo Kähkönen. And I think that, listen, Kaapo has not always done his best job throughout the entirety of the season. I think that he's got room to improve. But also at various points this year, the Sharks defense has not done a lot to help him out. And last night, the Sharks defense and Kaapo Kähkönen throughout the majority of that start to the game when Pittsburgh was buzzing, he did a really, really good job to keep those pucks out of the back of the net. He was fighting off shots. He was making big saves, and he did it all night long. I don't think any of the goals in particular am I looking at last night and said, yeah, Kaapo should have got that. I thought he played a really good game. I thought that, you know, Pittsburgh is very good at creating chances. When you've got Malkin, when you've got Crosby, when you've got these guys going and getting their looks, they are going to score eventually. That's just how it goes in the NHL. I've been watching this game long enough to know that when those two guys are going, you're gonna see them score. That's eventually how it's going to go, and both them were on their game. And it actually made me wonder, you know, how much, not necessarily bad blood, but I think for all those guys out there, they recognize it's a rematch of a previous Stanley Cup final. And I know that there are some people who are forever going to be mad at Pittsburgh and the Sharks fan base, and that's fine. Go for it. I have no problem with that whatsoever. I've just kind of always looked at the angle of it. It's like, okay, they were a really good team. They won multiple cups for a reason. They were a little bit better than the Sharks, and they have great players on their team, and they're always going to be regarded as a great team. And so I, you know, have more of a respect for them, even if I'd rather have not lost to them in the Stanley Cup final, but I don't hold any long-term ill will. That said, last night it was like, ugh, these guys, they're still doing this. And I'm sure they were looking at Logan Couture and or Mark-Edward Vlasic and thinking, ugh, these guys, they're still doing it. And that was a big game for the Pens last night, because they are now 1 point back of Washington for the final wild card spot in the East, and only 1 point in front of Buffalo, you know, 2 points in front of the Islanders, 3 points in front of Florida. They needed those points. and the Sharks took it from them. So very, very high credit to the Sharks. You know, they have been going against very good opponents, playing them really well all year. And, you know, that one was another one last night where you just hoped it didn't get away from the Sharks because they were putting in a good effort. They were doing so many things the right way. And, I mean, you just look at the points the Sharks have lost. I mean, whether it's against New Jersey, whether it's against Columbus, whether it's against, you know, Carolina. I mean, you just go down the list. There have been so many different opportunities for the Sharks to get more points than what they've had, and it just frequently hasn't made any sense. And when I look back at the scores over January, now that we've entered the break, they beat Chicago. They lost to Anaheim 5-4 in overtime. That was a game they had a chance to win. They lost to Boston 4-2, and they were hanging tough with them. They had a chance to win that one. They beat Arizona. They lost to the Kings 4-3. I believe they had chances in that one. Edmonton feels like the only game where they didn't really have a chance. They were just kind of flat out of the gate because then they lost to Jersey 4-3 in a shootout. They lost. They beat Dallas before heading out on the road trip. Columbus, they're up 2-0 and 3-2. Boston, yeah, that was that. I guess that was the other one. They didn't have a chance in that one. That was a tough game. They hung with them through the first period, but that was a good game. Detroit, overtime loss. Carolina, overtime loss. And then last night, the Sharks got a win. So 13 games in 28 days to start the year. They got a win over Pittsburgh. They got a win over Dallas. They got a win over Arizona and a win over Chicago. And then in all but two of the other games, they had a chance to win as well. And that's why when David Quinn talks about, you know, nobody's had a tougher year than us, or when Logan Couture talks about not understanding why their record is the way it is, or Nick Bonino last night, he was so ticked off saying that, you know, they couldn't wrap their head around their record. I mean, that's why. You know, it's not like the Sharks are routinely getting beaten by, you know, just big score lines. They're in games and they just do not have the ability to win these games. And we can talk about their need to learn how to win. We can talk about their need to, you know, just be better in many critical moments. And sure, these are all valid takes. But just, you would feel that the law of averages of being in all these games, except for two of them, you know, the Edmonton and the Boston ones, that they would have the ability to win more of these games. And it's amazing just to look at how many of these games did go overtime to a shootout. Anaheim, New Jersey, Detroit, and Carolina. And not only to have four games in a month go to overtime or a shootout, but also to lose them all. You would figure that some of those games are going to go the Sharks' way. But they clearly haven't. For the majority of the year, the Sharks have just been not very good in overtime in the shootout. And so that's the way it goes. You know, again, I can give you a much longer take on why I think the shootout is lame. I won't do that today. But again, trying to wrap your head around the Sharks' record, it is very, very difficult. Logan Couture's line as well, Asimov, Barabanov. The production from that line last night, 9 points, 5 from Couture, 3 from Barabanov, and another for Asimov. And I thought Asimov deserved more. I mean, he was creating opportunities. And that's the thing, is like sometimes the score line just doesn't reflect a guy's impression on a game. AC Mott was probably giving Pittsburgh fits the way he was creating. Because I look at goal scoring opportunities to me oftentimes are like chopping down a tree. And obviously a goal is the final blow that knocks the tree down. But AC Mott was taking those hacks that were, you know, rattling the lumber up and down. And it just felt like he was helping the Sharks break through and eventually it was going to happen. But just huge last night, huge performance there. Noah Gregor, too, getting through with the goal. And this is how important it is to see depth players coming through and seeing guys get these opportunities. Noah Gregor getting opportunity consistently in the lineup. And, you know, we heard, to me, what was kind of a challenge from head coach David Quinn after last night's game is that he said that Noah Gregor, you know, he came back strong. It had been kind of petering off a little bit. And then Noah Gregor comes up with a big game last night. And I think that, again, is huge to see because these guys know they need to respond. They need to come up with big performances. And consistently, they have been. I think that that's the thing is that, you know, when these guys are out of the lineup, I think that a message is being delivered. And I think that Noah Gregor is the type of guy who, you know, is able to have that message delivered. And he came through with a goal last night. One interesting one to point to, though, is that LeBanc was, again, a healthy scratch last night. That is an interesting situation. His game is not sitting well with the Sharks coaching staff right now. They are not liking what they are seeing from him. And we'll wait and see if that situation develops. And I'm a little surprised because I've liked a lot about LeBanc's game this year. But again, you look at the mistakes and maybe some of the bad penalties, and that was something that head coach David Quinn didn't want to risk tonight. I think that usually Kevin LeBanc more than makes up for that. But at the same time, you know, the coaching staff sees it the way they are going to see it for a reason. All right, we are going to take a break. On the other side, we are going to get into some post-game reaction. There's some really interesting commentary across the board. You're on Morning Tide.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Crosby got it back from Ruedel and spun it to the right wing boards all the way across the rink. That was a great scoring chance. But the Sharks able to deflect it away, and now Logan Couture beats Crosby to it and lifts it out. Barabanov across the line. Gets the shot away, but that's a good block by the defenseman Pierre-Olivier Joseph on the far side of the ice. Joseph has it behind his own net and moves out for Pittsburgh. Joseph looks for Crosby on the right. Knocked down by Vlasic. Poked ahead. Here's a break for Barabanov moving in. Behind the back pass. The shot. Right on. Score! Logan Couture trailing the play is going to get credit for this goal on a brilliant two-on-one after the turnover. A behind-the-back play by Alexander Barabanov got to the front of the net, and somehow the Sharks end up taking the 5-4 lead, and the captain, Logan Couture, gets his fourth point of the night.
Yeah, the pucks went in, you know, obviously in the empty netter, so it's nice to see that the puck went in. I thought last night in Carolina we had a few good looks. The puck didn't go in, but tonight Izzy made a great shot on the first one, and then Greggy with a drive on the rebound, and Barbie in the third there, or in the second. So, yeah, the puck's just on the back of the net for us tonight.
Logan Couture with a massive night, bringing us back in 5 points, 2 goals. 3 assists. He is not the only reason the Sharks won the game last night, nor would I ever make that claim. However, he was a big, big part of how they won that game. Here's head coach David Quinn weighing in on Logan Couture.
Yeah, I've only known him a short period of time, but I've got so much respect for him. And, you know, he's a true professional. He's humble and comes to the rink and works his ass off every day. And, you know, he really made sure that we weren't going to lose tonight.
That's a great way of putting it. Not saying that he is the reason that we won, but he made sure that the Sharks were not going to lose last night. And again, that's exactly what you need from your captain. That's exactly what you need from your leader. A little bit more from Quinn on Logan as a leader.
Yeah, he's a great example for what you want your franchise to be. And, you know, it's not an easy situation for him, but certainly the season hasn't gone the way any of us thought it would. He's voiced his frustration to me on a couple of occasions, feeling like we've played a lot better than our record, and he can't believe we have the record we have, as a lot of us have alluded to, but we do. And but he keeps coming to the rink every day and putting forth an incredible effort, and you know, he's got so much respect not only from the players but from the coaching staff and anybody around our organization.
I mean, I think everybody can point to Logan Couture and say that he does it the right way. He's the guy who is putting in the hard work. He's doing the little things. One of the things that I always point to is that when you do the little things right, you come up with the right result at the end of the game. And, you know, he finishes his checks. He holds on to the puck. He challenges shots. He challenges passes. He doesn't go for the puck. He goes for the body. I mean, he is the guy that is the example of what happens when you do everything right. And I don't say that to be oversimplifying this, but it's like you look to Logan Couture and he does do all the little things right. If you need a team to be capable of putting together performances and putting together games that are complete, that are solid, that are workmanlike, that are businesslike, that are, you know, to a way almost contrived. And I don't mean that in a negative, but it's like, you know exactly what Logan is going to do because that is particularly what he is trying to do when he goes out there on the ice. Things aren't happening by accident. Things are happening by design, by his own creation. And last night, he came through with big point after big point after big point, whether they were goals, whether they were assists, or just whether it was the other things that he was doing out there on the ice that are not as easy to talk about. But it's just, you see him impacting so many plays. That doesn't happen by accident, right? Like, that is a result of his view of the game, his teammates' view of him, and they know that if he's looking for them in a certain position, if he gives them an idea where he's out there on the ice, if he says, hey, if this happens, I want you to do this. I mean, again, you have to listen to him because there's a very, very high chance that he's going to be right and he's going to either set you up for a goal and or an assist. And that's what Logan Couture brings to the table. You know, he might not be on the outside, the external view, the rah-rah type leader, but he is the type of guy who, by example, by the things that he says when the cameras aren't around, by the way that he conducts himself, by the way that he shows how much it means to him, that he's going to help this team get a win. And that, to me, is just, it's, you know, it's admirable because it's not easy to do in a year like this. And especially after a night like last night.
Last night was tough. Going to sleep was very difficult. Not going to lie, it was, get in here late. You're up for a few hours thinking about how that one ended last night. But I think to the guys' credit in here, we forgot about it pretty quickly and rebounded well. It helped getting the first goal. And getting that one at the end of the first was also pretty big.
And I think that's probably how it was for a lot of guys, not just Couture. Tough to go to sleep last night. Tough to forget about an opportunity in which you had a chance to win. And you think about that. Think about the four overtime games I talked about in the month of January as of late. Think about all the other games that I designated as winnable games over the course of the month of January. And that's just January. Now you extrapolate that over the entirety of a season and think about that weighing on Logan Couture's mind and the rest of the guys' mind. Like, yeah, you can see why they were so ticked off after that loss last night, or two nights ago, I should say, and why probably they were able to come out of the gate so hot last night and really answer the bell and just have one of the more impressive performances they've had all year long. I mean, it's the 15th win of the year. It's not lighting anybody on fire, but I appreciate it just because it shows you how much they want it. I mean, this team at 15, 25, and 11, I mean, again, you look at 11 overtime losses. It's the worst in the West and the worst in the league, and that should just tell you a little bit about that. So, yeah, man, it's just tough. Yeah, it's been a tough year for the Sharks, and now they get a little bit of positivity heading into the break, which I am very much happy to see and excited to see what they do on the other side of the break. And, I mean, again, the losses like Carolina, they hurt, but I credit the Sharks. They've always been able to bounce back this year with better performances after bad losses, and this was the latest example of them answering the bell. You know, I know that's an overused term, but, hey, they did. More on that response from last night from head coach David Quinn.
Absolutely. I mean, think about what we just did. You know, I mean, obviously last night's loss, devastating. We go toe-to-toe with Carolina and Carolina and then come here and do what we did tonight. I'm just really proud of our team.
And it's interesting the way that Quinn plays it because he definitely calls out his team when they need a calling out, and he definitely backs up his team when they need a backing up. I mean, that is not easy to do because it's hard to play it both ways. I don't know if you want to call it, you know, tough love and sweet love or good cop, bad cop or something like that. But it's like, he's just essentially honest. You know, earlier in the year, he was calling out his team as being fragile. I mean, he wasn't wrong, but he's also very quick to compliment. He's very quick to talk about the things that his team needs to work on. But then he's also, you know, there to, you know, say that he's proud of his team and he likes the response and he sticks up for his guys and he sticks up for his team when they need sticking up for. And I think that's a huge part of what you watch from David Quinn, and that probably permeates and bleeds to the rest of the team. And it's a big way of, hey, you're honest with each other. You're honest about your game. You do the things that you can do well. We're going to get the results that we can get. And that's why I think the dressing room is still tight. That's why I think the guys are still out there supporting each other. And the fact that he keeps on giving chances to a guy like Noah Gregor, who comes up big last night and gets the goal.
Hurdle reached for it, couldn't get the puck. Coming back the other way is Malkin. Feet across the rink there, intended for Petrie. Knocked aside. Good quick stick there by Jacob Megde to knock that away. In the middle of the ice surface, can the Sharks steal? They do. It's Couture moving in, shooting the puck. Save. Rebound in front. They score! Noah Gregor! Right place, right time, right shot. It's 3-2 San Jose with 4:54 gone by in the second.
Yeah, it's, that was a gut-wrenching loss, really. We played good all game. It's kind of how the season's been going for us. A lot of those late third leads that we've lost and then end up losing in overtime. So I think that shows our mental toughness to be able to come back tonight and get a win.
Gut-wrenching loss. These are terms that are not used lightly. Just to watch that game go down the way it did two nights ago, to have a two-goal lead with less than 2 minutes left to play and you lose in overtime. I mean, that. These are the growing pains, I think, that the Sharks have to go through, unfortunately, because you know, you got to get angry enough. You got to get pissed off collectively as a group. I don't know if they're trying to piss off Kevin LeBanc and get him pissed off for greatness, as Ray Lewis would say. I believe it was Ray Lewis. I could be wrong about that, but I believe it was Ray Lewis who said the pissed off for greatness line. Like, you need to have guys ready and willing to just go all out on any given night. And I felt like something, and I hope, but I hope that something clicked after that loss against Carolina, to where there is a fed up mentality of what the Sharks went through, that there is an anger, that there is just an overall desire to be better than they were, and overall just sick of the losing, because I know that they are sick of the losing, but it has to happen as a collective. And I'm not saying that it's going to turn around and they're going to do what St. Louis did and, you know, suddenly surge to the top of the standings. Like, no, that's not what I'm saying in particular, but it's like, you're going to have some losses for the rest of the year, but you would hope that they're just getting past the painful losses, the ones that, you know, make you just walk around your house shaking your head, the one that keeps your captain up late at night. Like, those are the ones you want to get away from. You get beat, but to feel that you had the opportunity to win and it was taken, or the feeling that you saw a lead go away, or that you just weren't able to finish, or the mistakes, or, you know, you go down the list of the different ways the Sharks have lost this year. Like, those are the ones that you're trying to eliminate, the losses that keep you up at night. And I think that if the Sharks do that, you know, next year in particular, they'll probably have a much better chance of being closer to a playoff picture. Now, granted, I don't know what the roster is going to look like next year. I don't know what everything is going to appear to be next year, but I don't think next year, even regardless of who will be on the roster, that we're going to experience these same type of painful losses, that we're going to experience these same types of just gut-wrenching instances. And, you know, you look at players that have come into the fold, like Nico Sturm and most lately Mikey Acemont, and these guys might be a big part of the Sharks' future.
Tenacity, speed, work ethic. It's all over the puck tonight. I thought this was his best game with us, and he's had some pretty good ones on this trip. So I think he's feeling comfortable. He's learning the system. He plays like a pest. He's in another team's best player's faces. I think it's been a great transition for him. He's a good player. And when we got him, I got a few texts from guys that I know in Winnipeg, DeMello and Brendan Dillon, and they said, "You're going to love this guy." It's unfortunate that he didn't stick there, but it's fortunate for us.
He's been a really good pickup. And I think the thing is that when you've got guys coming in from the outside and making an impression, it ups the level of competition within the dressing room and makes everybody want to play better. Here's Noah Gregor weighing in on Acemont as well.
Yeah, he's fitting great. You can see with his work ethic, I think that's where his game starts. He's tenacious on pucks. He's always in the battle. He's you know, he's got some finish. He's got some playmaking ability that we've seen so far. He's been able to get in on some goals, so he's been a great addition for us.
Yeah, great addition for sure. And by the way, before I forget and we run out of time, I want to play you this quote that Gregor had about Logan.
Yeah, he's been great. Me and Kuzma gotten pretty close here ever since I've been in the league. He's even when I was first coming in the league, he was always talking to me through the summer. And as a young guy, that's great to have your captain keep in touch with you. And you know, now kind of as I've been in the league for a little bit longer here, he's helped me along my way. We've become great friends. He's a great teammate, so he's been great for us.
I mean, to me, that shows that he is involved, that he cares, that he wants to be engaged with the players that are coming on his team. That's what it means to be the captain. And I don't know that we can all, you know, look at leadership the same way, but to me, that sounds like leadership. And I like the way that Logan Couture is going about it. And I think that, you know, to talk about guys when they're coming onto the team, when they're getting into their NHL career started, that shows that it's like, hey, there's an involvement here. Like, your success is involved with my success. My success is involved and intertwined with your success. And to see that coming from the captain, to me, that goes a long, long way. All right, we are just about out of time, but don't worry, even though we are going to be entering the All-Star break, we will still have Sharks content coming out for you. Be sure to keep your eyes peeled for the Sharks Hockey Digest podcast, as we will put out some content over the break just to talk about everything that we have seen. All right, we are out of time for the San Jose Sharks. I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.
Carlson down the right side looking to make the play. Lawrence pokes at the play. Now Barabanov in front, tip, star! Erik Karlsson kept on skating. He had his stick down at the edge of the crease, and he got a pass from the left wing side to put the Sharks even 2-2 with a spectacular goal.